On this episode of the Soccer Stories podcast, we are joined by Philadelphia Union forward Chris Donovan. Fresh off his two-year extension with the Union, we'll discuss Chris Donovan's path to the pros, his MLS career so far, and what we can expect from him in 2024. Once again, you're listening to the Soccer Stories podcast. I'm Brian McDonough, and I hope you enjoyed this episode. All right, Chris, yeah, really great having you on the show today. How's it going?
Everything's good. How are you?
Good, good. I appreciate you doing this. Well, we have big news. I know that Fabrizio Romano's most recent tweet included your name. That was crazy. So that was really cool as a Philadelphia Union supporter, seeing one of our local guy and a player getting a shout out. What was that like for you? I mean, was your phone blowing up?
Yeah, it was. He tweeted it like late at night, and I had already gone to sleep, so I woke up in the morning to a bunch of texts. Yeah, it was definitely pretty interesting.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. So it's an extension through 2025 with the Philadelphia Union, with an option through 2027. Is that all accurate?
Yeah, the options are separate. So there's an option for 2026 and 2027.
Okay, very cool. I saw, obviously, with Fabrizio Romano, whose reach is millions and millions of people. So it must have been just kind of crazy for you to know that, you know, your photo, the big news of your signing was being seen by that many people around the globe.
Yeah, it was definitely fun. My agent told me that he was going to try to get Fabrizio Romano to announce it. And I honestly thought, nah, there's no way. There's no way he'll do it. And then a couple weeks passed, I thought, it's definitely not going to happen. But just woke up to it that one morning. So it was pretty crazy.
That's awesome. And that's how I heard the news. So we were very excited here, you know, in the Philly area. So as you may know, I'm local right now myself. You're from Paoli area. So let's take a step back and talk about your soccer journey. You know, this is the Soccer Stories podcast. We like to hear a little bit about players, coaches, whoever we have on the show, talk a little bit about their journey. And let's take a step back because I was reading about you. 56 goals, I believe it was, your senior year of high school at Conestoga. That's unbelievable. Then you went on to Drexel. Talk a little bit about that process. Was it always in the work? Did you always believe you'd be a professional player? Or was it more or less after the success you had in high school and college?
You know, there was never really a moment where I thought it was possible until the draft was going on at the end of my college career. And okay. That's when it was really like, you know, I got drafted, and that was the moment where I was like, oh, I can actually, not that I can do this, I always believed I could, but that was the moment where it was actually going to happen, because there are a lot of guys that have the ability and don't get the opportunity. So that's what it all come down to.
Yeah, if there's any major critique about like the U.S. soccer system, it's a lot of people who have the ability who don't get the opportunity. The opportunity fell to you. You've taken advantage of that. Let's talk about that decision, I guess, to stay local. So you had an incredible career at Conestoga, I believe, 2 state titles, 4 goals in your state final, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, I scored 4 in the senior year state final and the only goal in the year before.
And then you go on to Drexel. You stay local in the Philadelphia area for anyone who's listening. What went in that decision? Were there other opportunities outside of Philly? Did you decide to stay local for a reason?
I had three schools that were like that had serious interest, and the other two weren't local. And Drexel was the first one that made me an offer, and it was an offer that I was never going to refuse. So I accepted it immediately, and just, you know, everything seemed to work out because I'm really glad I stayed local and got to go into the city too.
Yeah. So for anyone who's listening, so we have a global audience here, Soccer Stories podcast and the state of soccer in general. I think it's abnormal for anyone outside the United States to kind of hear about the system that we have. If you go the high school, college soccer route into the pros, there's the MLS Super Draft. So after your time at Drexel, you had a successful career at Drexel University. You were drafted by the Columbus Crew, right? I believe the 68th pick overall. Were you expecting that night to get drafted? Was that something going into your senior year that you saw as a possibility? Or was this kind of on the backs of a great senior year?
The goal going into that senior year was to be good enough to get drafted. And fortunately or unfortunately, what you need to do to get drafted is win the awards for your league and for college soccer in general, because that's what gets people noticed. So once I had won a couple awards, player of the conference, etc., that's when my coach started telling me, like, it's probably likely that you're going to get drafted. They wanted me to stay for a fifth year, but they were willing to let me go because of this opportunity. So, yeah. And then Columbus drafted me.
Yeah, so that's interesting to me. So really the only way in collegiate soccer to get noticed is if you win major awards, right? And you were a finalist for one of the largest national awards I saw. But you also were playing at Westchester, I believe, Westchester Soccer Club, correct? For in the NPSL at the time?
Yeah.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about that, I guess, recruiting out of you know, the collegiate soccer realm. Were there scouts at your games? Did you notice any? Or was it really just purely if you had a big year and won the awards?
I didn't notice any scouts at NPSL games, but what I will say is that Blaise Santangelo, the coach of the Westchester NPSL team, he is super, and USL too, I think. He's amazing at what he does. He's a coach and networker and knows a lot of people and was able to get me some opportunities that I may not have had if I hadn't played for Westchester.
Very cool. Okay. And then you're drafted the 68th pick overall, I believe, by Columbus. And then things kind of take a turn. It looks like at that point you're playing with Columbus, and then I guess essentially things don't really work out. And so what exactly happened there?
Yeah, so the situation with Columbus is I went down and I got drafted, got a call the next day. They said, we want you to come to preseason. What the MLS draft is essentially, it's an invitation to preseason. It doesn't mean that you've got a contract or anything. So get invited to preseason, go down there. I know I didn't play my best, but also didn't get the most opportunities being a drafted guy. We were off to the side a little bit doing our own thing with the other guys that were on trial and one of the other draft picks. So we were off to the side doing our own thing a lot. And they let me know after about a week or two that they weren't interested in keeping me. And I knew that the Philadelphia Union 2 was another option. That was a big reason why I decided to go in the first place. Columbus was an opportunity with the first team. But if I was able to play, even if I wasn't able to make it, I knew I had an option in Philadelphia with the second team.
So then you get that opportunity and you take full advantage of it. So MLS Next Pro, so that's Philadelphia Union 2, they play in the MLS Next Pro. You're only there, it seems like, for about a couple months, right, before you get your first senior cap. Is that true?
Yeah, I don't know exactly how long. I think it was 4 or 5 months that I played for only Union 2, and then got the first team contract. It came out of nowhere for me, at least. I was pretty surprised, and then it was just days after. It was one day after I signed the contract that got my first appearance.
So, was there any kind of I guess local connection with this move happening? You know, was it your agent? Was it Jim Curtin? Was it anyone else in the Union front office? How did this come about? Or was it just purely they saw you and they liked what they saw?
I can't really speak to that. I know that they like what I bring to the table, which is a lot of energy, pace, and just pressing. And that's really important for the forwards. So, you know, it's probably a multitude of things, but I couldn't put my finger on a singular one.
Okay. Now, I'll ask you, when you're younger, you know, growing up in the area, were you a Philadelphia Union supporter? Was that always your club growing up?
I do support the Philadelphia Union, obviously, but it wasn't my main supported team. I love all Philadelphia sports, so I'm a general Philadelphia sports fan. And then my soccer team is Liverpool. So
okay, awesome. There we go. We have something in common too. Besides the Union stuff back here, so that's pretty cool.
So I had actually I had actually never been to a Union game that they had lost in my playing or fan career. I'd been to something like 5-6 games, and then the first loss was actually against Orlando last year that I had ever experienced at Subaru Park.
So why Liverpool, out of curiosity? So how'd that come about?
So I was I got into really watching soccer when I was I must have been 13, because it was 2013-14 season, and so I started watching the Premier League, and the three players that I always say were the reason why I chose Liverpool are Steven Gerrard, Luis Suarez, and Daniel Sturridge. So those were the three guys that really made me fall in love with Liverpool.
Okay, this is a good segue then, because Luis Suarez just signed with Inter Miami, as I'm sure you know. And this past season must have been a whirlwind for you. I was looking at just kind of your story, the second half of the season, and you know, you had your first ever goal for the Union in the MLS match, first ever MLS goal against NYCFC. You also scored in the League's Cup to send the Union to the semifinal against Inter Miami. Let's stop there. Because we just mentioned Luis Suarez, but Lionel Messi, you got to play against him. What was that like? And you started that match too, I believe.
Yeah, I did. That was, you know, it was definitely awesome. It was a great experience. Obviously, wish we won the game, but there was the moment when all week we knew Messi was coming. Messi was coming. That was the main. Everyone in the media is talking about it, and then. The main moment where it really like clicked, like Messi's actually in the same building as us, is when we saw a picture of fans in the stadium, because we knew that fans weren't being let in until the Miami bus had been safely put around back. So yeah, when we saw fans in the stadium, that was when it was like, wow, Messi's actually here and we're about to play against him.
Yeah, I mean, be honest, it must be so tough. As a, you're probably kind of geeking out, like as a fan, just in general, right? I mean, you know, obviously, you can't, greatest of all time, in my opinion. You're playing against Messi. What was going through your mind? Was it just any other match day, or was it kind of tough to stay focused?
Yeah, he is the greatest of all time. That we can be clear on that. Yeah, but he, you know, it's, I actually probably would have been more starstruck if I wasn't starting that game and I was on the bench, but I was starting. So I was completely locked in. I wasn't really thinking about it, but of course I have the picture of our handshake before the game. So after the game, I got to really take it in that I just played against Messi.
I saw that picture actually on your Instagram. I was taking a look there, and yeah, you look very serious. You look dialed in that picture.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. Now, Luis Suarez playing for Inter Miami, you said that's you know, one of the main reasons you supported Liverpool. Are you looking forward to playing Luis this upcoming season?
Yeah, I mean, he was literally one of my idols, and then kind of as I became a striker, I was always kind of a winger when I was younger, and as I became a striker, I watched so much of him and tried to, you know, attempt to implement things that he did. I'm definitely not as skilled, but you know, just definitely an idol of mine, and it would probably be a dream to get his shirt after the game.
That's pretty cool. So I'm sure you'll be gunning for that. Let's talk about your play style for anyone who's listening who's unfamiliar with you. You know, you said you're more of a winger previously, converted to a striker. Can you talk a little bit about your role with the Philadelphia Union, and your play style, if you don't mind?
Yeah, so we play a two-striker system pretty much exclusively. So, you know, it's when you're in a two-striker system, you're a striker, but you're also going to be – we don't have wingers. So sometimes you're going to find yourself out wide. As I've gotten older, I'm definitely more comfortable staying in the middle of the field. I like to be – near the goal, when that's where you're gonna get your chances. So, you know, my play style is when we defend, try to be everywhere, just get pressure to the ball, make things difficult for defenders. I like to think of myself as not fun to play against. So, just make their life really difficult as a defender, and then with the ball, you know, always improving, hopefully, just trying to get better at the holdup aspect, as you know, that's not something I ever grew up doing, playing on the wing. You're always back to the sideline rather than back to a defender. So it's just something that even today I'm still working on.
And you're okay. So what's the relationship like in the locker room with Jim Curran? I've been, you know, around the media, and I've spoken with Jim Curran in passing. He seems like an awesome guy. What's it like playing under him?
Yeah, Jim's great. He's always going to tell you how it is. Like if you're not playing well, he tells you that we need more from you lately. Like this hasn't been good enough. And then if you're playing great, he's going to let you know too, and you're going to be rewarded with minutes. So it's really refreshing not to have, you know, someone who's telling you what you want to hear, and then you're not actually getting treated the way you really would like to be, you know.
So Jim's also a local guy from Orland, PA, Philadelphia suburbs. Do you guys ever talk Philly sports, or is it strictly professional? You guys just, you know, kind of go about your business.
You know, Jim makes a lot of general comments during team talks, and not team talks necessarily, but you know, just as he's addressing the whole team, he'll make comments about how, you know, Sixers are on a run or whatever, and. You know, I'm probably one of the guys who actually knows what he's talking about, and so yes and no.
So what's the vibe like in the locker room with all these guys? I mean, you know, massive international group of players, right? You're local. There's a couple of their homegrown players. What's the vibe like overall? If you could just describe the Philadelphia Union locker room.
Yeah, everyone's great. You know, it's. There's no one that everyone's like, oh, that this guy, like, you know, everyone really gets along, and you know, we have different groups, but there's no one that you wouldn't want to be on the team. And I hang out with mostly the young guys, and I can definitely say that it's a really cool group of guys.
I won't ask this question. I don't want to get you in trouble, but do you find yourself hanging out with a lot of the local guys? Is it kind of like, is there a click between, you know, northeast guys in general?
Yeah, there are going to be cliques on every team. It's just, you know, who you gravitate towards and who's your best friends. You know, even if you're friends with everyone, you're going to have the guys that you're closer to. So, yeah, it's a lot of the young guys and the local guys that I find myself hanging out with.
So what I guess, you know, now that you're a professional soccer player, but you're still in the area, do you find yourself giving back in any ways, coaching, doing anything on the side? Is there anything that, you know, getting involved in the community? Is there anything that you like to do?
Yeah, I do like to coach. Coaching is, I actually coached the Conestoga JV team for a year when I was in college, but our fall season was canceled for COVID. I was then doing nothing in the fall. So I took over the Conestoga JV team, who were in need of a coach. It was just kind of a perfect fit in a situation where they needed a stopgap solution and I needed something to do for 1 year. So that was really fun. And then, I've always wanted to do coaching since then. So I've also done a couple appearances for the club that are coaching related.
That's really cool. So obviously you're focused on your career right now. You just signed a 2-year deal. And that's your main focus, I'm sure. But do you see yourself potentially going into the professional ranks of coaching after your career? Is that a possibility with you?
It's something to think about. What I'm going to do is going to be coaching related or soccer related, because, you know, I can't imagine the game not being part of my life. So what I do beyond my career is going to be soccer related, but what I can't say is what exactly it'll be.
This is a question I've always wondered. So, local guy who plays for his, you know, hometown club, when you look in the stands, how many guests do you typically have at each match? Do you have a lot of family, friends there? Do you recognize, I'm sure you're dialed into the match, but do you recognize some people in the stands every now and then at these games?
So, we get four tickets. So, our four comp tickets, I always know my family's going to be there, and they'll be up in the top in the stadium club. And then beyond that, I almost always see someone that I know, or someone will come up to me and say, oh, our niece goes to Conestoga also, like, we've been following you for a long time. So it's really fun when people come up to me and say that they've been following me for longer than just the last year or so. And then obviously when I see people that I know, always make sure to give a wave.
This past season, you could say, I guess overall, was, you know, Union still had success, but slight disappointment from the prior year, obviously being in, you know, the MLS Cup final. You did, however, score in the MLS Cup playoffs on the road at New England. What was that experience like, you know, playing in the playoffs, getting some time? I'm sure this was a good experience for you.
Yeah, it was definitely a good experience for me. The game in New England was a really odd one. It was one where, you know, it was gonna take something to break the deadlock, and just the fact that it happened to be me was pretty cool. And then, you know, it wasn't over then either. We had to play another 10 minutes and five or so of extra time. So those last 15 were really intense. You know, we were really pushing for it. They were really pushing for it, and we were trying to resist as much as we could.
All right, we're going to wind down here, but I have a couple questions for you, because I'm sure that the, you know, Sons of Ben will be listening, and different Union listeners. So just to kind of miscellaneous questions, I guess, you know, and I know you get questions like this all the time from the social team with the Union, but we'll start here. In your opinion, who's the best dressed Philadelphia Union player?
Best dressed? You know, a lot of them have a style that isn't really my taste. But I think that it's pretty well established that a lot of people like Daniel Gazdag's taste, and okay, a lot of people like Andre Blake's style also.
What's your style, if you could kind of sum it up? It could be similar to mine, because we're both from probably 10-mile radius from each other. But
yeah, it's t-shirt and shorts, if I can. Shorts. I don't like to do too much. I like to do the bare minimum if I can. If it's cold out, I got sweatpants on. If it's warm out, I have shorts, t-shirt, and maybe a sweatshirt if I need.
Okay, so you're not a polo guy. You're not rocking like a mainline vibe or anything.
When I come to games, I have to be best dressed. I have to be, you know, well dressed and looking at least decently. So I'll have, you know, some khakis or dress pants, and then collared shirt.
Awesome. That's a good look. So how about best music taste, or who's the DJ in the locker room? Who's controlling the music?
In the locker room, before games, it's actually our kit man who has his phone is controlling the speaker. Yeah. But on a day to day in the locker room, usually it's Jose Martinez or Baizo that have the aux. So they play a lot of reggaeton, or I don't even know what to call Baizo's music, but it's French, and it's French rap, something like that.
Okay. Best move. So best dancer.
Not me. Anyone else.
Let me think of if there's any other that I can think of. You probably hate these questions, I'm sure, because it's kind of putting you on the spot. But, you know, it's good for our audience. Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, this upcoming season, what are the expectations? I mean, the goals, I'm sure, are to get back to the MLS Cup final. What are your personal goals? What are your personal expectations this season, hot off of a new contract?
I mean, yeah, my personal goals are just to become more and more part of the trusted rotation of players that are in the lineup. So whether it's off the bench or not, I'd love to start games. But if my contribution is going to be off the bench, I'd love to come into every game. You know, I just want to give everything I can and try to affect the game in a positive way, and then you know, get some goals along the way.
Do you feel like, kind of fresh off of this new contract, that I'm sure you can't sit back and relax, you have work to do, but do you feel a little bit more calm now, ready to go move forward? It's kind of like a commitment from the Union.
Yeah, it's definitely nice to get, you know, a new contract is essentially saying that, you know, they really do want me to be here as of 2-3 weeks ago. Yeah. So, you know, the further and further you get into a contract without any word of a new one means maybe, you know, maybe they're thinking about maybe not renewing you. But for me, I've never been sort of like an anxious guy, but so I never really had too much worry about them not wanting me. Obviously, it's something that maybe sticks in the back of your head every once in a while, but yeah, it's nice to get the reassuring, even if I wasn't necessarily too worried about it.
Cool. And last question for anyone listening who, you know, is new to you, new to the union. Give us a fact about you or something that people don't know about Chris Donovan. Is there any hobbies that you have?
That's tough. I can tell you that both of these are they're actually puzzles. They're not paintings. So I do puzzles. I don't do them all the time, but I do ones that look nice and I put them up in display. There's actually two more on either side too.
Those are really nice. Yeah. Awesome. That's cool. That's yeah. I used to do puzzles myself, so that's pretty cool. Interesting. But all right, man. Well, I appreciate it, Chris. It's been great having you on the show today. Great hearing a little bit more about you. Fresh off the new contract, and we're really excited to see what you're going to do this year for the Philadelphia Union.
Thank you for having me on.
Of course. Thanks. Take care.
Take care.
Once again, that was Philadelphia Union forward Chris Donovan. I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode of the Soccer Stories podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, then make sure to hit like and subscribe. If you're listening elsewhere on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, wherever it may be, thank you so much for listening. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast. Once again, this is Brian McDonough with the Soccer Stories podcast, and I'll see you in the next episode. Take care, everyone.